down. The Blog Talk. Talk Radio.
The Department of Veteran Affairs says I have 24 things wrong with me. Four of them are fatal, and that tends to make you stop in your tracks and reflect. Remember now, only 16 people are older than I am in America, and thank God Captain Jet's one of them. But still, the news does make you think. You create a bucket list, and you begin prioritizing what foods you'll miss the most. For me, number one would be the Indiana tenderloin. How about you, Eli?
Oh, man, John, you know I can eat some tenderloins, buddy.
Well, then I would miss Cincinnati chili. Grand Central Station's scallop bisque and a good West Virginia hot dog and a Mississippi meat and three. Well, you get the idea. Anyway, I've missed you all in the time I was gone. Not as much as the pork tenderloin, but still I did miss everybody. So now that I've bummed you all out, let's party. And until one of us drops, because time's not on our side, but food is. So without further warning, welcome to Eat Me, Mancini Radio's version of adult soft porn, with Captain Jet, Eli, Peggy, Mark, and, well, yours truly, Chico, the Wonder Dog. So now, let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm John Guy.
I'm Eli Raisovich.
And I'm Peg Palmer.
And the three of us are basically going to cover it tonight, huh?
John, yeah. I no longer live near the greatest spectacle in racing.
I understand that, Eli. That's horrible.
I know. And it's really getting to me now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I was going to miss it. I signed the paperwork for the house, my Speedway house tomorrow. I live up in the Indiana equivalent of Beverly Hills. Carmel, Indiana.
That's right.
Why are you so about that?
Everything's nice and clean here. I'll say that, and brand new.
Yeah.
But I'm a West Side boy.
Well, I just got out of the hospital after 6 days, and I'm telling you, hospital food sucks.
Oh, man, you must have a crappy hospital, John.
Apparently I did.
The food is fantastic.
Yeah, not
it's
so
catered
much.
In. You fill out the menu, and they cater the food in.
Yeah.
I didn't eat, I would say,
two-thirds of my meals. Didn't touch them.
Wow. So what kind of crap were they serving you?
They look at me and they go, well, here you are. You have MRSA in your elbow. And I'm going, what? And we're going to hold you. And you're diabetic and you got all these 23 things wrong with you. And so, we're going to give you a diet that has no flavor or taste whatsoever.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
Thank God it was not pureed, but still, it's like, what the hell is this? So I would call them up, and I'd leave a message on their dietary hotline, and I'd go, okay, tonight I want mac and cheese and tomato soup. And I would get none of that, none of the above. Bad lasagna with very hard, crusty Parmesan cheese bread or something. I don't know. You know, you couldn't figure it out. You really couldn't.
No.
And, you know, I didn't watch TV that much, maybe an hour a day. And I just lay there. I had the penthouse suite at the hospital. That I did.
Cute nurses?
The penthouse suite, it was huge. It was probably my private room was probably, I'm going to guess, between 500 and 600 square feet with a giant picture window overlooking the freeway.
John, were the nurses hot?
The nurses were great.
What were they hot, John?
They were young, and some of them, yes, some of them were, and they all loved me. I don't know. They'd take turns coming into my room just to hear stories.
I bet.
Did you tell them to eat me?
I told them all about Eat Me, yes. In fact, the guy that put the, what's that called, Heather?
The pick line.
The pick line. I have a pick line embedded in me.
Oh.
I don't know if you're familiar with pick lines, but they basically are dropping pharmaceuticals onto my heart directly.
Oh.
Oh, you betcha. They wound that from my upper arm all the way to my heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was boring. It really was. And they wanted to soak me for another day in the hospital, soak the insurance company. And I calmly called the discharge nurse, and I said, here's the situation you get to deal with. It is currently 2:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. I said, I'm walking out the front door of your hospital at 5 o'clock tonight in a urine-soaked hospital gown.
Oh.
And it's not going to be a good look, folks. You need to finish me up and send my ass home, or else I'm going to embarrass the hell out of this hospital. I was ready to go home.
Oh, I bet. Ugh. I had
so
a pick line.
They're not fun, are they?
No, it hurt when they put it in. It really hurt. And then I had to have... They had to run something to clear the lines, like, every week.
I get to do this every day for 6 weeks. My daughter is here with us right as we speak, and I'm getting it done as we're doing the show. Yeah. But I treated myself when I... walked out of the hospital later that night so they couldn't charge me for another day and bore me to death. We stopped at Long John Silver's. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to a Long John Silver's recently, but they've changed. They've changed their menu and the whole bit. My wife had grilled shrimp over rice pilaf. I had scallop strips. I had fish fillets, coleslaw, hush puppies. We did it up right. And
wow.
Lo, I celebrated. And tonight I'm going to celebrate even further once this infusion is finished and the show is done. But I'm going to be eating like a horse tonight, which does remind me, if you guys, if anybody or either one of our listeners is close to a computer, get onto Facebook and type in on the search, Recipes from Heaven. OMG. I'm telling you, it's fabulous, easy recipes that you can, let's see, this one's refrigerator, bread and butter pickles, this one looks good, southern peach pie, that one was good, but I mean, they've got fabulous recipes, many of them in the crock pot.
Yeah.
And you just scroll down and they're quick. Some of them are like three ingredient recipes. What the, Heather? Look at this. Homemade baked Italian meatballs.
John, you didn't pronounce it. You're from West Virginia. It's Italian.
It's Italian. That's right. It's Italian and... yeah, I just got to the cherry Dr. Pepper cake. Homemade peach jams. Oh, my God. Huh? This one, Heather, is chili cheese dog baked dinner. They've got... they just have all sorts of good stuff. Slow cooker. I didn't realize you could do in a crock pot grilled corn. They have a recipe.
Yeah. I'm not much of a crock pot guy. I like to be able to have to chew my food.
Yeah. Well,
they always want me to use a slow cooker and some other stupid thing my sister uses. And I tell her, I'm like, I like texture and I liked it to have a little bit of, you know, something feels like I've actually got to chew it.
Yeah.
It's really good for chili where it cooks all day and gets really.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Where it, you don't, you know, it's off, but yeah. My sister loves crock pot and slow cooker, and so does Stacy, but.
Air fryers and stuff.
Air fryer, and I found it, it takes some practice. I mean, there's a lot of bad air fryer food, but.
They're really, okay, oh, Heather. Bailey's Irish Cream Chocolate Cake. Anything with Bailey's
that.
Skillet Strawberry Cobbler.
I
cheeseburger French Fry Casserole. Tomato Pies. I mean,
John, I'd eat that whole thing.
That's right. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, recipes from heaven. Where the hell? I believe, and I'm if I look further on the website, I think it is from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pineapple upside down bread. Oh, here's fried green beans, Heather. Yeah, that'd be Boston cream pie cupcakes. I mean, it's just one thing after another, and it's like, oh, my God.
Where's the English food cake? They should have angel food cake. Recipes from heaven. Angel food cake they should have if it's recipes for heaven.
That's true. Hot cinnamon roll casserole.
Any cinnamon
breakfast.
Roll I'm down for.
There you go.
John,
there
have
you go. Yes, sir.
Have you been to Bucky's?
Have I been to Bucky's? No, I don't think I have.
If you ever see a Bucky's, stop, get off the highway, get you one of those giant cinnamon rolls. It's the best and giantest cinnamon roll I've ever had.
Best cinnamon rolls at Bucky's. Okay.
Yep, and they've added a. They're building a second one in Indiana now, so I'm going to take a road trip just so I can go to.
Are they nationwide?
They're spreading. It's a Texas thing, and they're
it's
spreading.
It's a Texas thing. Okay.
Yep. We've got one out by the Ohio line. On
oh,
the
we're getting
right now.
We're getting one out here, Eli, in Goodyear,
Bucky's?
Arizona.
Oh yeah.
Yippers.
I mean, there's nothing like going to a truck stop to eat.
That's right. And there's a small town in Arizona that right behind a truck stop, actually, they had an Indian restaurant. And I walk in there one day. I've walked in there three times, and I'm the only customer. And I'm thinking, okay, you're in the middle of the desert in Arizona. You're serving curry chicken. You have no customers. How are you staying in business? I'm thinking they're gun runners.
Telling something.
It's either drugs or guns.
Huh.
That's why I look at it. But
we're up to 289 listeners.
Why?
Because you're here, John.
Is it
Gary
because I'm
New
back?
Brunswick?
Is that it?
It is. Gary from New Brunswick, New Jersey lists his favorites. German chocolate cake, carrot cake, apple pie, boysenberry pie, cinnamon swirl. Thank you, Gary.
Okay, that's good. Those were all good, but he needs to think outside the box. You know, I mean, you can have all the pies you want, but there's only one, Eli, in there. There's only one pie in America, and as far as I'm concerned, it's sugar cream.
Well, certainly here in Indiana.
That's right. You get some sugar cream pie and some breaded pork tenderloin. Oh, I may be going back to Iowa in a few weeks. I don't know.
Okay.
We shall see, because their food, they had a bohemian restaurant that's been there for, I don't know, 100 and some years. And, boy, I'm telling you, Eli, that's, you know, Czech, Serbian kind of stuff. And it was fabulous. I'd never in my life had goulash that good.
Iowa thinks they have the best tenderloins, but we know we have them better here in Indiana.
We do. We have better tenderloins, absolutely. And one of my nurses walks in my hospital room in Mesa, Arizona, and she goes, I go, where are you from? She goes, well, I'm from here, but I went back a couple years ago and buried my dad in Cincinnati. I said,
was
really?
Was he dead?
I'm hoping. if you ever eat Cincinnati food, it will get you. But I said, well, what'd you have while you were there? She goes, well, my dad always loved Skyline chili.
Oh, I was just going to say, talk about Skyline. A lot of people really hate Skyline.
I know they
do.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
I tell them, I said, you know, it's really Greek chili.
Yes, that's what it is. You're right. You can buy the chili sauce at a grocery store. I can get it out here at a Fry's or Safeway. They do sell it. It's $5 a can, but they do sell it. But then you got to convince somebody you got to do it on spaghetti with a quarter pound of grated cheese.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the beans, John.
And the beans and the onions. You betcha. You go five way if you're going to do Cincinnati chili. But so she and I were talking our heads off about Cincinnati chili, and she goes, you know, nobody out here understands it. And I go, nope, it's regional. It's like Made Rights in Iowa. I have been there now three times, and I'm not a big fan. That's Sloppy Joe without the sloppy.
Oh.
And Made Rights have been around since 1926. They're also called loose meat sandwiches. And all they do is they brown the ground beef in a skillet, and they add usually about 7-Up. They'll put some 7-Up in it, and then they scoop it out, put it on a hamburger bun with some sliced pickles. There, you're done.
Huh.
That is a loose meat sandwich, and you really only find them in Iowa. and they've got them everywhere. And they've been there for 100 years doing the same menu at every one.
Where in
Made
Iowa
Made right.
Made
and,
right.
And Sloppy Joe's without the sloppy. But
34 listeners, guys, the numbers are going up. Yay.
How much?
334.
Okay, we need to start derailing, and we need to start talking about the good stuff. Huh, Eli?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be 100 degrees this weekend, and I'm thinking that's nudist camp time.
Yep.
In fact, I was looking at some of the openings that we've done on Eat Me in the past, and it's amazing. I don't even know if we ever did this opening, but I found it, and it was like, what the hell? It was about, let's see, it's Thursday night. Do you know where your kids are? Down at the Burger Chef, the Maid Right, the White Castle. Do you even have children? And did you know that there are 5 RV parks in Florida for nudists? And you've seen a 67-year-old fat man changing a tire on his RV at the nudist resort in Florida that you'll never, ever see again.
Oh, I hope
I think
not.
It's called hysterical blindness, and I'm pretty sure that once you see the guy changing the tire, well, we'll call him Carl, you may never want to see ever again.
Well, John, you're very timely as usual. Stacy and I are the semi-proud owners of a pretty bad shape 1976 Shasta Flow Light trailer that I restore cars. I'm going to try a trailer. And
you're
going
to try to do a trailer?
Yes, sir.
Are you ever coming to Arizona, Eli?
I do. I'll bring my trailer, John. And since it's a 76 Shasta, I'm going to do it red, white, and blue.
There's a small town that I had a professional baseball club in, name of Bisbee, Arizona, and they have what is called the Shady Dale RV Park, and they are RVs and trailers from the 1940s and 1950s. In fact, they've got a sailboat that you can rent for the night and spend the night on a sailboat if you want in the middle of the desert. But we're talking 1950s trailers. Okay?
Yeah.
Fully restored. And what they'll do is they'll put a record player in there with records from the 1950s to boot.
Oh, how fun.
They have an eight-stool diner and a graveyard. And that's basically it. But you go to the Shady Dell and you stay in one of those that you're going to be working on, Eli.
Right on.
That's big.
Like they've got like, you know, 1958 Winnebagos. Fully tricked out and restored. And you can spend the night there.
My pending back surgery is going to,
I know.
Slow me down, but I'm trying to get everything lined up to get started. And it's going to be quite the task. I think it's going to be a little more difficult than a car.
What year again was that?
It's a 76.
A 1976.
Yeah,
okay.
Just, Google 76 Shasta 16-foot trailer. It's cute as can be.
It's a pull-along, right? It's a pull-along from that year, yeah. We used to have – I grew up poor, okay? We were a poor family, and we only had a monitor travel trailer to go with our 2 canoes and 3 cars. But we were poor. And so, yeah, we had one of those pull behinds. I used to listen to the 500 every year, sitting in my monitor little trailer, listen to it on the radio back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was always on Monday back in the day, John, no Sunday.
What was it, Lloyd Ruby?
Lloyd Ruby, Hard Luck Lloyd.
Hard Luck, yeah. Hard Luck Lloyd. Yeah, he was.
How about Jim Hershey?
I remember the year Cale Yarborough tried his hand at 500 racing, and it did not go well.
Do you remember the year Jim Hurtubise?
Oh, yeah, Hurtubise, sure.
He was great, but he lost it that one year, and they wouldn't let him try to qualify that old car, and he was running around the track. Cops and stuff had to chase him down.
And that track has lost a lot of great drivers
over the
years. I mean, guys that were basically in Indiana household names, and then all of a sudden, they die in a fiery crash. Either they're at Speedway or the Speedrome or Brownsburg or somewhere.
Back for the
500. How did Hurtubise end up going? Do you remember?
I think Hurt just died of old age. He had mental health issues.
Okay.
Cut the ends of his fingers off, and so he didn't have his complete fingers on either hand. So he had what was left of his fingers. He had the doctors set them so he could wrap the ends of the fingers around the steering wheel and still drive around.
How did Hurtubise lose his fingers?
Fire in a crash.
Oh, fire in a crash. Okay. And he lost what? All of them?
All the tips of ends of all of his fingers.
The tips of all of his fingers. I did not know that about Hurtubise.
Like I say, had the hand, you know, put back together with the fingers bent so he could hold the steering.
And that was the good old days when the drivers, you know, the drivers, they were hardcore.
Oh, that was the good old days when you actually had to drive the car, John.
You had to drive.
Now it wants to go in a straight line.
That's right. Roger Ward.
Those guys are tremendous athletes. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people say they're not athletes, but they are. But I've driven a car, especially modified Cadillac, at over 180 around the track. It scared the snot out of me, but I'm sitting there thinking, if Joe Nobody can drive a Cadillac 180 down a straight stretch. You know,
and it was on that track?
Yes, sir. I was guarding a dignitary. I was dignitary detail, the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
Sheriff Cotty talked to me and goes, he wants to take a lap around the track. So I said, okay, I'm in my unmarked car. He goes, well, go to the track. They'll have a car ready for you when you get there. So I'm thinking, okay, they'll have a nice car for him. I get there, and this has been a while back. This twin turbocharged V8 Cadillac. And John, it was basically a race car Cadillac. Except it was a passenger car. So I'm doing laps, you know, 100, 120. And I'm thinking, he goes, can you go faster? I'm like, yeah. I take it up about 140. He's like, well, can you go faster? And I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to go faster. And so I put the metal, I mean, I floored it coming out of the fourth turn. And it hit over 180 in the front stretch. And, I chickened out. I powered way down coming through turn one. And I nailed it again in turn two coming out. And the wife's screaming, slow down. He's screaming, go faster. And I'm like, I think we're going fast enough. But it didn't make me realize.
You're peeing down your left leg, aren't you?
Oh, those guys must have the size of basketballs. Because, you know, they get like 8 or 9 inches from the wall.
My wife would be so jealous when I tell her this story, Eli. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
180 in a Cadillac on the track.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I white-knuckled it, John. I ain't lying.
No, he's having surgery this year, but he took a modified Cadillac on the Indy track and went 180.
That's pretty
and
scary.
He said it scared the hell out of him.
It did. It was one of the scariest things there. Now, plus, I was thinking, you know, if I crash and kill this dignitary, you know, I'll probably live and have to live with the shame and get fired.
Probably, yeah, that probably is what was going to happen, yeah. We got any comments, Peggy?
Well, I just totaled my car last week, so I don't think I'd be going on a speedway at 170 miles an hour. I'm still tired.
Okay.
Driving, period. What? I still don't have a car.
Let's ask our listeners. This ought to be interesting. What's the fastest you've ever driven in a car in your lifetime?
That's certainly the fastest I've gone.
Yeah, that's 180. Can they beat it? Let's hear from our listeners. We have how many listeners? 12 or 13 now?
Last we had, like, what was it here? 334, and that was a few minutes, a while ago. So we probably have more than that now. They probably all.
Oh, my God. Wow. And we're gonna be talking with the granddaughter, I guess, of Charlie Finley, either next week or the week after that, and that ought to be hilarious, because her grandfather, Charlie Boy, was something.
He was something.
He revolutionized, he brought into baseball things no fan had ever seen before. You know, like the pinch runner. Remember Herb Washington?
You bet.
He never got
cool.
One at bat for the entire season. All he did was pinch run. That's all he did.
Now, the important thing, though, is he got a paycheck.
He got a major league paycheck, and he's, of course, on the baseball register. And he had his own baseball card. Tops put him on a card, and he never had an at-bat. No. But I always thought that was cool. We, Eli, There's trouble in River City in football, Cedar Rapids. Trouble, and that's trouble with a T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for, what does that stand for? Not pool, piss poor. They're having issues, Eli. And Peggy, I want you to know, and this is a fact, I called Eli last week and asked if he could still play center.
Yeah, what
did he say? He turned me down because he's going to have his spine fused or something. And with his 87 previous surgeries and heart attacks and strokes, if he didn't have upcoming spinal fusion, he was game.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
We cut our center.
I did not have this fusion. I'd be there, John.
That's right. And that's what semi-pro football is all about, folks.
That's right.
You betcha. You play with one limb dangling, and it doesn't slow you down. But We're losing the good old boys from semi-pro football, Eli.
Yeah, we are. We're all getting old, John.
They're all getting old. They are. And you play semi-pro football, you're leading a pretty damn tough life. And so you're not going to live into your late 90s. That's not going to happen much.
And I were talking about it last night at dinner. We went out to dinner in Speedway for the last time while we lived there.
Where did you have dinner in Speedway?
Bourbon and Beyond.
Bourbon and Beyond. Okay.
Yeah. And she's asking because she didn't know much about football, and the UFL was on in the bar, and we were
correct.
Watching that. I said, "Well, I'll tell you about football." I said, "Imagine you're in like a typical game for me." I said, "I was in the equivalent of probably 40 high speed auto crashes a game."
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, "No way." I said, "Yeah," because you know I played under the old rules, John.
That's right.
I used to say you can do whatever you think you're man enough to get away with on the interior line.
Yeah, you and Spike inspired me in life. I'm telling you right now, Mike Mullen and you, he'd come up to the line and he'd have an Alka-Seltzer in his mouth, Peggy, and he'd be foaming at the mouth as he got up there opposite his offensive player. He'd be foaming. Eli will tell you the story of the guy that lost the testicle and they never found it.
Yeah, of course. One dude got a finger torn off in an ear hole.
The finger in the ear hole, and they never found it either. And we were all down on the turf looking like we were looking for a contact lens, and we never did find it. He had to have tossed that.
Oh, I ticked a lot of people off because, I always got to be a smart ass. I said, if I find it, I'm eating it.
There you go. That's semi-pro football.
You know I would have eaten it if I found it.
Now, I was reading recently here where Frank Yannick from Scranton, PA died. One of the greatest running backs in semi-pro football history. And you played against him, Eli.
Where'd I play?
Frank Yannick.
Yeah.
How many times you played the Scranton Eagles?
It's been so long, I can't remember the teams, John.
That was John Kennedy, a quarterback. Frank Yannick was his running back. Mark Lloyd was his wide receiver. And they always, always handed us a loss. We'd go all the way from Indiana to Scranton, PA, and get our asses handed to us usually. It was kind of like going up to Racine, Wisconsin. We never beat them either.
Gave them hell a couple times, though.
We did. We came close. And the minute you get close to Racine, they pick up the pace a little bit and blow you out. But you played them in front of, 3,000, 4,000 people. They had the turnout. And those fans all game long would ride your ass until the game was over, and then they would be the friendliest, nicest people you'd ever want to meet.
That's the way it should be.
But I'm telling you, Racine, Wisconsin, DuPage Eagles, you look at Indiana, you look at the Kokomo Mustangs, Indy Bears. I mean, those were classic old-time, old-school football.
You know, the Bears had, I think, one of the greatest things that may never happen again in semi-pro football, John. I think it was the 80 National Championship. Our defense outscored opponent's offense.
Whoa.
Yep.
And so, let's see, you were playing offense that year for the Bears, but the defense had Mark Wycliffe.
Ed Boswell.
And I'm Yeah, Ed Boswell. You probably had a Brumley somewhere in there.
No Brumleys yet?
Okay.
No Brumley.
And that was before the time of Jesse Newkirk, wasn't it?
That was before Jesse.
Peggy, we had a football team, and the guy would every game, he'd get himself ejected from the game so he could go smoke on the sidelines.
And the thing about Jesse is he was really good, John.
He was. He played at University of Kentucky and IU, didn't he?
Oh, he went to IU first. They were actually ranked to start the season, and they were getting beat by some, Credola team. And Jesse didn't like how things were going, and the Tillery boys were there, and I knew them from Ben Davis, so it's a true story.
Sure.
I heard rumors of it. So Sam Weitz was the coach, and Sam goes, does anybody have anything before we go out? Talking about the second half. Jesse goes, yeah, I do. And Newkirk, stands up, and Weitz looks at him. He knows it's going to be something horrible. Jesse said, you don't know bleep about football. Right to Weitz's face and the rest of the team.
Wow. He transferred the following year, didn't he?
Yes, he went to Kentucky.
Yep. He was not the best player that I ever saw. That would have to have been Wade Hall.
The talent
that boy had was absolutely stunning. He played at University of Indianapolis. Back then it was Indiana Central College. And he was a monster. He was nicest guy you'd ever want to know. Gentle as can be, just a nice guy. But, my God, on the field, it was horrifying.
I tell people if my brain was in Wade Hall's body, I would be in Canton right now.
That's right. James Finch, there's another one from Indiana. He was one hell of a linebacker. But I don't know. Those were the good old days, Eli. What are you going to do once you get the spinal surgery, besides eating and putting some weight back on? What are you going to be doing with your life?
Well, I hope you'll be able to ratchet on my car.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to work on my car much. I can't get up and down off the ground right now. Actually, I'm going to work on restore. That trailer I love, I can do standing up without stressing myself. They said I'll be laid up about 3 months. So.
Okay.
And okay. I'm going to try to ride my bike. Get started riding my bike. I'm afraid to ride it right now. Because the bottom three vertebrae, in addition to the two fractures, the bottom three vertebrae have no cartilage. So they're sitting on the nerves that go to my legs. So, just out of nowhere, I get this pain that's like my legs are on fire all the way down to my feet. And I can't control my legs. Yeah, and I'm starting to lose strength in my legs. So,
Okay. You and I now have something in common for the first time in our lives, Eli.
Multiple wives.
Ever since I've known you, which has been how many years?
I don't know. I was young, so it's been a while.
Yeah. You and I have probably known each other off and on for 50 years.
Pretty close.
Close to. And you and I are going to be able to run a race, foot race. Neither one of us would finish. I'm about 90% finished with my legs.
Aww.
Not so much fun.
Oh.
And, so it goes. You got. I'd rather. Let me tell you a story, Peggy. I went into a hospital in Sun City, Arizona. It was emergency surgery. They did 4.5 hours of surgery. I wake up after the surgery. I've got 8 tubes going in and out of me. And I'm in a daze, and I have a colostomy bag, which none of which had ever been told to me because they cut me open right away. A doctor walks into my room, pulls the curtain around my roommate, Jose, and I hear the following. Jose, I've got some bad news. You have cancer of the penis, and we're going to have to amputate.
Oh, man.
Now, two things are going through my mind as I'm coming out of the fog. Thing number one is, am I in an episode of Seinfeld? Am I George Costanza? What the hell is this? That was thought number one. Thought number two was, please, God, do not let that doctor come to my bed next. But it puts everything, the 8 tubes, the pain, the colostomy, it put it all in perspective real, real quick.
You bet. Good Lord.
At least I was walking out of the hospital with Johnson. You know, Jose, not
right.
So much.
He's not having so
much. And it was Jose and I, you know, we got to know each other pretty good there while I was recovering and he was getting ready for the knife. And I'm telling you, it's things like that that put medical conditions and life in general in perspective.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I try to generally cheer people up, but what the hell do you say to Jose to cheer him up?
Well, no. If he didn't, the doctor explained to him, if he hadn't had that done, he would die.
Yeah.
It was that fatal. You had an amputation or you died. Those were your two choices. And fortunately, Jose was at this point a grandfather, okay? He was probably in his late 50s, early 60s. So, you know, you've got to look at it both sides of the coin. But still, you know, I'm laying there feeling sorry for myself. Not so much.
Hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. I
410 listeners.
Oh my God, 410 listeners.
Yeah, probably more by now. That's great.
Wow. That's some good news. We'll get back to hitting around 5 like we did before.
We love
them all.
We lost some, but we'll get them back. You know, we got to call. Come on, we got to call Chico in West Virginia.
Yeah, you know,
he closed the restaurant down, but we've got to give him a holler, and we've got to start talking about West Virginia dogs.
Oh yeah,
just that simple. I mean, you know, when you lose your mobility and you have all these bad things happening to you, you start thinking bucket list. And as God is, I thought I was going to die at one point a couple weeks ago. Really?
Oh, no.
Well, no, there wasn't a bright light or any of that shit. It was, I was in West Virginia, Eli. I was walking down a country road in West Virginia, and I was thinking to myself, that's heaven.
John Denver.
Well, I'm making a trip down there this year as soon as my back gets good enough to travel, John, and I'm going to go to Hillbilly Hot Dogs, and I will do a full report.
I got to go back one more time. It's just that simple. I got to. Once a mountaineer, always a mountaineer. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. When my wife and I went the last time to West Virginia and we just sort of trolled all the bars and speakeasies getting West Virginia hot dogs, it was bliss. It was absolute bliss. And, of course, in West Virginia, every hot dog is different. They don't use the same chili sauce or any of that stuff, or coleslaw for that matter. It's homemade, you know, and grandma or somebody in the back kitchen is making it for those dogs. And it was a wonderful, wonderful vacation and taste treat. It really was. And I got to go back too. Got to.
I still haven't really been there. I got to check it out.
Is Mark with us?
I think he said he let us roll it out.
Okay, and that's good. That's good. We can do that. We got about what, 9 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
We can do that. We can
eight
do
minutes
that.
From Mark.
Eight.
8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that gives all our listeners at home an opportunity to go to their pantry and get a expired can of bacon flavored spam and get themselves ready for supper.
Don, I think you missed it last week. I ate an almost 3-year-old expired protein drink.
Yeah, you were telling me about that, Eli. It was kind of lumpy, like drinking liquid cottage cheese.
Yeah,
protein drinks that are that expired, Eli, when they take the consistency of cottage cheese, that could be a red flag. Could.
Well, you know,
not necessarily.
Let's put it that way, John. I just think of it as the free cottage cheese, brother.
There you go. And cottage cheese is one of God's more perfect foods anyway, so
sure
it works.
Regular smoke.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about next week? Irregardless of whether or not we have the granddaughter of Charlie Finley from the Oakland A's, what do we want to talk about next week, guys?
Oh, I don't know. We've had pretty good luck just kind of playing it by ear, but I'm sure there's good stuff to talk about.
Don't we do that every week?
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, when do you go in for your surgery? What?
The 20th of next month. I got 32 more days of hell.
All right, now, you're going to be in the hospital how long?
A couple, 3 nights.
That's it?
That's it.
You shouldn't miss the show then, right?
I should be home the night of the show. If I have the surgery Monday, I should be out Wednesday.
All right.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, you just tell them. That's what I told my hospital people Tuesday night. That's what you've got to say. You've got to go home. You're on a podcast.
I'm going to a new hospital, so I have to give you a food rundown.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not
so
going to
if you're the, where are you going to be going?
Somewhere, Riverview. And
Riverview?
Tuck.
I've never heard of that hospital. Noblesville? Okay.
Noble.
Okay.
Living.
All right.
Noble, you know.
Yeah, I was born in a hospital in Indianapolis that no longer exists and probably
which
hasn't
one
existed in 50 years. Cook?
Which one?
I think it was Cook. It was a children's hospital.
I don't even remember that one.
That's what my birth certificate said before they shipped me off to the asylum, which it also says, I might add, the Indiana Orphans Asylum. You know where that's at, Eli?
I always like when you use the word asylum.
I always love the word asylum. Absolutely. And we're going to end up closing this. I want to tell all the listeners, if you haven't seen the trailer for the movie, Fallout, you need to watch it. It is with, did you watch Raylan Givens and Harlan County, Kentucky, Justified?
Yes, sir.
All right, Boyd Crowder is the star of this horrific sci-fi 11-part series that's currently streaming right now on Paramount Plus. You can get it on your computer. And he's the ghoul. He's a bounty hunter 200 years from now with no nose. Boyd Crowder without a nose. And I'm telling you, I loved him in Justified. He is a hot commodity. It is called, I don't know, I just had a brain fart, Fallout. And it's on your computer. Watch it, because just the trailer alone is horrifying. So, I don't know.
You have to have Paramount Plus.
How much?
You have to have Paramount Plus to get it? Is that what it's on?
I think just go on a computer, watch the trailer. It's on, you can just Google it, and then figure out where to find it and watch it, because it looks absolutely fabulous. How much time we got here, Miss Peggy?
Looks to me like 3 minutes.
Oh, that's way too much time. 3 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it's 7:57, so if we're done at 8, wouldn't that be 3 minutes? I think so.
Yeah, it would be. But, you know, in all honesty, Peggy, correct me if I'm wrong, we're done whenever in the hell we feel like being done.
Yeah, who's this smart man?
That's right. That's right. We want to knock off early and, you know, go eat something bad. We can do that. That is absolutely in our purview. But next Thursday, let's call West Virginia, Eli.
Absolutely.
Let's talk to somebody who knows a little bit about good food.
Oh.
Thanks.
Are you getting hungry, Peggy?
Yeah, kind of. I want to try. Eli sent out this little message about the slaw line in West Virginia.
Slaw line in West Virginia. If you're north of it, you don't have slaw on your dog. If you're south of it, yes, you do. And they have markers up to tell you where the slaw line is in West Virginia. God love them. Those hillbillies know it all. So we've got less than a minute left, and we're going to see everybody back next Thursday. And until then, eat poorly. Absolutely, but smile while you're doing it. Until then, I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Raselvich.
And I'm Peg Palmer. Thanks for listening. We're up to 424, so let's make it 500 next week. That'd be
next,
great.
Next week,
you.
We'll hit
yeah.
it. Night-night, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Later. Bye, Mark.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.